Youth Forum.
It's a Youth Forum and this is another edition. Very good evening to all the listeners across the country. My name is Okello the Great and yep, today is Wednesday, 6th March, the year is 2024. Thank you so much for choosing the Youth Forum right here on Radio Miraya. So what we do every time is bringing to you information, programs and activities that really fits youth and nothing more. Tonight in this program, we are going to have a very prominent and very important discussion that is tailored not only for other issues, but rather an information that you will have a takeaway on. Now, as you all know, of course, that we are in the month of the Women's Month, which is called the International Women's Day. But before then, tonight, we are going to discuss women in aviation, their roles in nation building. The women in aviation, what role do they play in nation building? That is the topic we will be looking at. But aside from that, let me give you a bit of a breakdown. International Women's Day is celebrated globally on March 8th every year to honor the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. It also marks a call to action for accelerating gender parity and equality. Now, the day provides an opportunity to reflect on the progress made by women and stakeholders, to call for change, and to accelerate acts of courage and determination by ordinary women who have played an extraordinary role in the history of their countries and communities. South Sudan will join the rest of the world to commemorate this significant day with a series of events aimed at highlighting the challenges the women faced in society and addressing the challenges they face, to call for action to change negative attitudes and create effective, friendly and conducive environment for all males and female. On Youth Forum tonight, we are equally pressing the button of women's achievement much harder. In so doing, we are looking at women in aviation and their roles in nation building. Let me, ladies and gentlemen, and for all the listeners across the country, going to introduce to you the panel members of tonight's discussion on the Youth Forum. And I'll begin with Amel Ajongamawut, the first female pilot. She is a commercial pilot. Amel Ajongamawut, it's my pleasure and honor to have you on the Youth Forum tonight. All right, and that's her. She will be speaking later on. And we have Sophia Piat Diu Dongrin. She is the female air traffic controller. Sophia, welcome to the Youth Forum.
Thank you.
All right, before then, and all the listeners that are listening to us, we will be opening the line for you. And as you all know, you'll be calling us and you'll be sending SMSs. For those who fear talking, you'll have the leeway to send an SMS. And of course, don't worry, we'll not hear your voice. But for those who are very strong enough, you'll be having the telephone lines as well that I'm going to read in the second hour, where you will call, share your opinions, share your questions, and share your comments with the guest in the studio. Now, for those who are following us on our social media page, of course, on our Facebook page, please send in your comments, send in your questions, and I'll be reading later on as we move on through the course of this discussion. But first off, I would want us to begin in a very strong note. Ladies, thank you so much for accepting to be here tonight on the Youth Forum. Really, we are very happy to host you. But first of all, happy International Women's Day to all of you.
Thank you.
And all are smiling. But before we all delve into what you do, what the other person does, do you think it's important that Southland will always join other nations to observe and to celebrate the women's achievement in this country? All right, Amel?
Yeah, it's important for South Sudan also to join the rest of the world to celebrate this day, because I wouldn't want to say we are disadvantaged, but we have gone through a struggle. We've seen all the injustices we go through. So it's important for us to celebrate this day.
All right. And Sophia?
Yes, I think it's important to celebrate the day.
Do you mind coming closer to the mic? Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's important to celebrate Women's Day because we have great women in this country that have contributed to the struggle or the liberation of this nation, and we should celebrate them, and we will always continue to celebrate them and continue to celebrate Women's Day.
All right. Okay, thank you for your responses on why we should be having International Women's Day being celebrated in this nation. Now, as you are all aware, we are here tonight to talk about aviation. And South Sudan has got an international airport. It's a good news to all of us. But then we have all other airstrips in all the states. And so for some of you who flies, I really don't. Sometimes I go on foot or maybe by road and takes me like days. But let's talk about the aviation itself. Before we go to aviation, all of you have careers in the aviation field. Let's talk individually. Where did you begin and you realize, hey, this is what I want to do when I reach high school or maybe when I go for university? Sophia.
Yeah, after completing my high school, I had joined construction water and sanitation course in Rumbek. And after that, I worked with UNMISS as an individual contractor for like 3 years. And yeah, after working with UN for those 3 years, an ADIBAT came up. And yes, you know very well that aviation industry, some courses are very expensive. And yeah, an opportunity came up. The ADIBAT was there for air traffic controllers. They needed air traffic controllers. So I applied in Rumbek, and I was shortlisted, came and do the interview for 2 weeks in Nyakron Cultural Center. And from there, yes, I was accepted. And when I passed the interview, that's when we were taken for the training. We were actually 30 in number. So we were taken to East African School of Aviation to do air traffic control for 9 months. Yeah. And from there, from that time when I was accepted to join the aviation school, aviation became part of me, and the passion grew each day. And yeah, today, as I speak, aviation is my life.
Wow.
Yes.
That is a very serious note. Well, as you love aviation, we'll come back to that love of yours. Amel, I want to bring you in. Where did you begin the career of aviation?
Okay, mine is different from Sophia's. Mm. You see, when we're growing up, the way we'd be home and they'd ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be at home with my cousins and like my siblings. People would say, oh, I want to be a doctor. Oh, I want to be an engineer. Or like people would have different professions, they would say. But then, you know, it was because we were young and people would just say different things. So for me, I want to be a pilot. And then when I finished my high school, I told my father about it. And he asked me, are you sure? And I said yes. So he gave me a month to think about it. So after Kenya Certificate of Secondary Education, then we'd stay for like four months before getting your results for the exam. So that would be, we complete in November, and then you stay until March of the following year and getting your results. So I stayed home for a month. And then I went for an assessment. So I did my training in Kenya School of Flying. It's in Nairobi, Wilson Airport in Kenya. So you go for an assessment. This is 3 days flight with a flight instructor. They just want to see your general handling and your confidence.
Mm.
They just want to see how you are before they actually admit you to the school. So I did the assessment and then like an interview, like written, maths, English, and geography.
Okay.
And physics. So after that, they tell you come back with your parent, and then they tell you how you performed, and then they admit you to the school. So after I told my father, he was happy to support. We went to the school, I did the assessment, I passed, and then I was admitted. That is where the journey started.
Okay. Yeah. So you leave it there from the admission, and we'll take it from where you stopped. But Sophie, you didn't tell us, because this is from your application point of view. You applied and you went for this air traffic control. But then what did you actually want it to be? What are you, apart from being an air controller? Is that your profession, or you have done something different?
As I said before, I did plumbing. That is plumbing. So after plumbing, I specialized in air traffic control. So basically, I'm an air traffic controller now. Yeah, the plumbing part is there, but I'm not practicing it at the moment.
So soon as you begin working as an air traffic controller,
yes.
So the plumbing stuff sort of threw it out through the window.
Not exactly. The skill can never be lost. Okay. The skill is always there. By then, I was under UNMISS, and all the plumbing stuff and everything was within the UNMISS camp. So, but after I went for the training for air traffic control, I came back and worked at Juba International Airport. But then to establish myself, I have to buy some tools to at least be a site, so that if there is anything I hassle, it's still there. It is a site hassle at the moment. Right. So if I have tools, then if someone can contract me, yes, the skill is still there. It can never be lost. Any skill that is learned is always there.
Great. I will tell the listener later on that Sophie is not only a air traffic controller, but she can manage anything to do with fixing the water pipe, yes, having an issue. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a story for the next day. Amel, I want to bring you back. Having stood there, you went with your parent, and they sort of admitted you. Yeah. How long did it really take you to break this nut of becoming a pilot?
After the admission, it took me 2.5 years. Yes. So first it's in the course is in 3 phases. So there's phase 1, 2, and 3. Phase 1 is a private pilot's license, and then the phase 2 is a commercial pilot's license, and then multi engine. Yes. So the private license is a bit private license, you need a minimum of 50 hours. And then you first, before you start flying, you do theory. So you go to a classroom, mm-hmm, normal learning, you do theory. When the theory is done, you're expected to do an exam with Kenya Civil Aviation. And you have to get...
Sorry, in that theory, you guys are doing drawing parts of, like, helicopter? No.
So it's... the theory is...
F-9 jet fighter and stuff?
No, there's navigation. There is air law. There is human performance. So it's related to almost everything. Because when I talk of human performance is like biology. If you did, like, biology in school. So this is just your body in that aircraft. Let's say I take alcohol.
Yes.
How is my body going to behave at a certain altitude? If I'm not feeling well and I fly, what is going to happen to my body? So it's my body, but then how my body is going to react to different things. And then there's navigation, of course. Navigation, to know your positions, to read a map, like, you know, the first days you actually have a map. So the instructor tells you, look down. From the map, it shows you there's a quarry. When you look down, you should see it, you know? So then there's air law. So we have rules that we need to follow. And then we're all governed by the ICAO. So
what is that?
ICAO is the International Civil Aviation Organization.
Okay.
Yes. So that is the body that governs civil aviation all over the world. So...
ICAO, not yes, ICAO.
ICAO.
Okay.
Yes. And then we have... Metrology. So that is...
Yes, yes. So Pia, please feel free to jump in. In an event, Amel probably would be thinking she's in space.
Metrology, yeah, that is, of course, weather.
All right.
Yeah. And then we have flight planning. And then...
CNS.
No, that for flying, we don't have CNS.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we have this mass and balance, all these things. So when you do this theory, you need to get 70% and above for you to for you to proceed. So if you don't pass your exams, there's no way you're going to come and fly.
You get dropped.
There are certain, because you know, they give you a certain limit, because people go and receipt, but then it reaches a point they tell you, now take a break for like 1 year and then you'll come back and then continue. I don't know if that has changed, but that was my time.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when the theory is done, that's when you do the flying bit of it. But then you need a minimum of 50 hours for the private license. So first, it's not complicated. It's not complicated.
Okay.
It's just touching things and... this thing just moves and it goes up.
Okay. So you are telling us, and I would want to bring feed the listeners, it's across the country,
yeah,
those who are listening, mm, is that you get into the plane, you just touch the things and the plane goes up.
This thing just goes up. It's not complicated.
Don't let anyone get into the plane. Just touch the things, because Amel said, and then the flight goes on.
Yeah, so first you need to get a fast solo. So you have to get, of course, the first days they teach you how to take off.
Mm.
You're not the one flying, it's this instructor that is flying. But just to get familiar with the environment and how things are running. So the instructor will do most of the flying. And then the next day, they'll just let go and see what you're doing. But with time, you get it and the confidence comes and you become very comfortable doing whatever you're doing. But then you have to get a fast solo. Where he gets out of that aircraft and he tells you, okay, you know mine, he had said it in Kiswahili, so I don't know if I should say it.
Okay, now to all the listeners across the country, as we are building our confidence,
yeah,
right, to fly our first flight, probably in a wheel or Kwajok or anywhere, she will tell us more in detail. But Sophia, I want to bring you in from where you stand. You've been bringing in the CNN. Was it CNN or CNS?
CNS.
So you do justice of trying to break down these abbreviations. Some of us wouldn't know, especially those who are listening outside, to introduce this program. But from where you sit, in reality, how do you control the traffic? Is it like you standing along the highway here and you're like, okay, you make your hand like this and these vehicles goes on this side? Like, how do you control the flights and the plane that are coming in?
Actually, when you tell somebody that you are an air traffic controller, normally what they think of the traffic police. Again, they think of those people in the airport. Maybe when you land, there are those guys that make some, you know, those that stand next to the
runway. Yes, those ones. How do you call them?
Yes, the marshalers. Those are called marshalers. So yeah, people think of that. They be thinking that you stand in the sun there waiting for the traffic to control. But we don't do that. We actually work behind the scene. Nobody, normally in the country, we are not known. We do the things, and actually what we do, we control the traffic. So as you say that they have three faces. We have also three. We have aerodrome controller. We have approach controller. We have area controller. So when you are an aerodrome controller, you control the traffic within the vicinity of an aerodrome. An aerodrome is the same with airport, the same word. So you work with the traffic within the vicinity of an aerodrome, those that are landing and those that are taking off. So like the road, you know, the road contain a lot of the vehicles on the road, but doesn't happen on the runway. On the runway, it's only one aircraft at a go. So you need to make, you know, you need to, if someone is taking off, the other one has the whole runway is
Belong to them.
Belong to them. So it's only one aircraft at a time on the runway. And yes, those that are within the circuit, within those that you are seeing, that is aerodrome control. And if you are an approach controller, you deal with those that are coming in, those that are descending, and those that are climbing. So mostly you climb air. The drivers or the traffic police, normally they don't talk with the drivers, but we do talk with the pilots. So we give the pilots instruction, the levels they climb to and the levels they descend to. You separate them, you give them distance, and you give them the different levels. And those that land, you give them, you sequence them also. The number one, number two, you sequence you actually. So you give them, first of all, we consider safety, then the order, then expedition. So you need to be expeditious with those that are landing and those that are taking off. So you sequence them. You are giving somebody to take off, you're giving somebody landing clearance, and somebody take off clearance.
So let's say, Spiat, for example, a male is in the plane, and she's about to take off. But before she takes off, she's already put in the queue, and she would know what time she would fly, right? Or literally, do you communicate to Amel when she takes off before informing the cabin crew to settle before she went off?
Actually, Amel does not have to start off without calling me. So she needs to call me before starting up. So I have to approve her startup clearance. So they don't just start up on their own. So that is the communication. She asks for startup. I give them startup, even the takeoff and the clearance to even enter the runway. So we all do that.
Wow. So, Amel, literally, your boss is Sophia. Because if she doesn't give you clearance, there's no way you and your plane, whether it's small or big, you can never take off.
Yeah, but we have to ask.
So let's talk about that bit of trying to you know, put people into the system, for example. But you have other planes that get lost, and they maybe they lost a direction, or somehow there's a technical fault. And how do you find out that a certain plane is within South Sudan airspace and is not identified by you? What really happened if they are not known by the country, for example?
So as I said before, air traffic control, we have three phases. They approach, aerodrome, and area. And within, we also have a radar control. Radar is where you see the planes on the screen. But then the one we are doing now is procedural. So procedural control is where you have the whole airspace on your head, you know which place, you know where Yambio is, which direction Yambio is, which direction Rumbek is. So that is mathematical. That mathematic is on your mind. So if an aircraft is in this place, you know, or if the aircraft is lost, you at least you know if there is a river in that place. Like an aircraft, if an aircraft is lost and you don't see them on the screen, like we do not have radar control at the moment, so You try to ask the pilots where exactly they are, the identification, whether there is a river or if the pilot is lost or if they are actually lost. Then you have to try to get that information, and you know exactly where that aircraft is, and you give them direction. So you have the whole airspace, and you also have the procedures on your mind.
Wow. All right, dear listeners, it's 41 minutes right here on the Youth Forum. My name is Okello the Great. We are joined in the studio by Amel Ajonga-Mawut and Sophia. Fiat. The two ladies, trust me, the words they're speaking here, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm trying to digest because somewhat really I'm not familiar with. All right, let me just slow down. How do you slow down when you're, is it when you're flying or you're driving?
When you're flying,
you're not driving. There's no steering.
Actually,
we have the control.
Not steering.
No.
So if you want to take it off, like, do you do like gear one, gear two?
No.
So what gears do you people have, Amel?
When you're taking off, you put the power on, like full power, and then you let go of the brakes on the runway until you get to your speeds, and then you pull, and then the plane will go up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about your experience of flying a plane. How many have you flew so far, and which locations did you ever fly?
I did my training in Kenya, so the Kenyan airspace is very familiar. And then here in South Sudan, I've gone to to the States.
Which states?
I've been to Jonglei State.
Okay, that's Bor.
Bor.
Uh-huh.
You just said you have toured the whole Equatorial.
Equatoria.
Okay.
Yeah.
Western, Central, and
Western,
Eastern.
Western, Central, and Eastern. I've been to Northern Barghazal.
That's okay.
And then some places in Warrap.
In Kwajok, in some areas. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, generally, looking at the geographic of the country,
mm-hmm.
what is your experience? Like when you land, for example,
yeah.
and as opposed to landing on the tarmac,
yeah.
or you're landing on just Maram.
Yeah.
Is it the same? Does the plane goes on a little bit the same? Or
it's
a bit
the
of
same, but you see, like, most of the airstrips here, like, some you'd find a very...
narrow?
The runway is very small.
Mm.
So you just land and you have to use a very short distance for you to stop. You know, sometimes you have a very big runway, you can even land in the middle and still stop.
Mm.
But then this one, you have to be very keen on that also. And then some places you find it has rained and it's muddy and you get stuck. Yeah.
Have you ever got stuck?
No. But then some of my colleagues, like some people got stuck, maybe it rained, and maybe you've never been there and you don't know about the area and the terrain.
Mm.
And then you go there and you get stuck. And then you have to be rescued. They have to come push you. You've seen pictures.
So when it's got stuck, literally, we call the entire village. And like, let's push. Let's push this, our cars. Our Land Cruisers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very nice experience. 44 minutes first the hour. This is a youth forum where the conversation about youth is taking place. And tonight we are talking about women in aviation, their contribution to nation building. And I'm joined, of course, by Sophia Piat and Amel Ajongo. You two are just inspirational to this nation, really. I mean, like, every time we're talking about the male pilot, we're talking about the male that are controlling the airspace and as opposed to female and all kind of stuff. But
yeah.
You made it to that level. You must be proud of yourself, are you not?
We're very proud.
Like, what is the level of your proudness?
Level.
All right, let's just talk about the narrative of a female in the context of South Sudan. At most part, you see, really, people would say that it's not good to allow your daughter to go to school. That she's supposed to be in the kitchen, she's supposed to be doing a lot house chores and stuff, and let the boy child go to school, and because he will come and do this and do that tomorrow. But here you are today, you have gone to school, and this is, look at the level you are, like flying in the spaces of this country, controlling every aeroplane that comes through the country, Sophie. And then Amel is just there in our plane and flying like the biggest bird we used to call it when we were young.
Yeah.
But you are there today. What do you think should be said to the parent? What do you think you should tell the parent about the girl child, given that this is the month of International Women's Day? Women's Month, rather. Amel, and then Sophia, you come in.
Okay. First of all, there's this saying that says, when you educate
a woman,
you educate the whole
nation.
Community or nation.
Mm.
But then you educate a boy child, you educate an individual. Most parents, especially in our communities, would not let some of their children to decide on the career paths they want to take. You'd find maybe there's a parent who wants their children maybe to become doctors, or maybe like engineers, or whatever career paths they would want their children to take. Sometimes I feel like maybe this parent wanted to become a doctor, but then maybe they couldn't do it, but they want to see it through their children.
Right.
But maybe that's not my passion. I might not even do well in that. I might go to school and it becomes crazy for me, and it becomes difficult. You know, doing something that you like and doing something that you don't like, these are two different things. I'm not going to have drive to do it. I'll go to class. Do I really have to go to class, really? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to do this. And this has happened so many times. You'd find people in my class, we had somebody who didn't want to fly. This was their parents' idea. So you should be like, I don't want to go to class because I'm tired. I don't feel like reading. But it reached a point, she dropped out. All this money you've used for nothing, you know? Parents should really support children.
Mm.
Should be there to nurture, yeah? Because at the end of the day, if I succeed, you walk out here proud, you know? Because you invested in this child. Doesn't have to be only a male child. It can also be a girl child. You know, I don't see a difference. If you have a girl child or a boy child, it's all the same. At the end of the day, it's your child. There's nothing that you can do about that. So parents should really support children in whatever career paths they want to take. Yeah.
Great, great. Sophia, we need to bring your brain into this discussion. Your colleague Amel has shed more lights on our own perspective on how she looked at it. But we are talking about girl-child empowerment, or women empowerment, so to speak. And you being a woman tonight here on the Youth Forum, what really would be your message to parents outside there that only sees boy-child as an asset, as a very important asset for the society, as opposed to the girl-child?
To parents outside there, I want to let them know that I want them to look at some other women that have really made it in life. Women who have not wasted the opportunity that they have given them, to at least learn from that and at least take their children to school or empower their women or their children, their girls, so that they take, you know, to take the whatever career that they like. And again, I always believe that everything is always two-way communication or two-way traffic. As we are here for aviation today, it's two-way traffic. So for the parent outside there, at least to give their children that freedom or that privilege of taking up education path, and also for the girls out there to take the opportunity that have been given to them seriously. Because, you know, some of our parents, sometimes when we waste the opportunity that is given to us, this is where things go wrong. But let it be two-way, to empower their girls, and also for the girls to take it seriously. So that is two-way things. It's not only one way. If you are given an opportunity, use it nicely. Don't waste it. Yeah.
Wow. It is quite powerful. But I want us now to look at some of the challenges that you face as a female in the air traffic control, for example, or in as a female pilot, Amel, for your case.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever found resistant, like men, for example, would look at you and was like, what do you know? Like, why would you be telling me this and stuff? Do you find this resistant, that people do not want to accommodate you in the society? Despite you are a pilot, you have the knowledge and skills. Have you ever, whether within the society or where you grew, or even here in the country?
Not really. I've not really gone through it. But I think there are some people who also go through this discrimination, considering the fact that this is a male-dominated career. There's so many men out here. Myself, when I did my commercial license, I was the only girl with 17 guys in my class, you know? And for me, when I was in school, it's not like I would be bullied or anything.
Mm.
People were very accommodating, you know? And then in the industry, not really. There's a day we had a flight from here to Arua. And then when we landed, there was they stare at you, like, they really look at you, especially when you're about to take off or like we're starting up the engines, people stare like this, like they stare.
Like, okay. They're like, we look at the window, maybe something happened, I can just fly out.
They really stare.
Like, will she really, like, leave this big plane?
Yeah, they really stare a lot. Like, they even start whispering, like you see mamas from the back. So when we landed at Arua, this lady just, it was a lady. She came to where I was standing. She's like, oh my God, can I have a picture with you? I've never been flown by a woman. That's what she said. She just looked at me and she was like shocked, you know. But discrimination is there. But personally, I've not gone through it. But I feel like there are women that go through it. There was a lady, she had a flight and she was supposed to, they were supposed to take off from Wilson Airport. So the passengers came, and then plus she was very short. So they were like, is she done flying us? This child, we're not going to enter that plane. And those people did enter the plane.
Oh,
they refused. So, you know, there's some people who can't really understand, you know. But you'd find, you know, we're even better than these men they're saying here. We are better. We can fly.
Absolutely. I have confidence. I'll get into your plane.
Yeah, we are better. So, yeah, discrimination is there. It's just that for me, I wouldn't say I've experienced something like that. But there's some people, I'm sure they're going through it.
Wow. Yeah. And Sophia, let's come to your air traffic department. I mean, are you the only female there or there are so many others?
Yeah, now too. So I was actually among the guys, like you said, we were 30 and I was the only one among the 29. So I made the group to be 30.
That's beautiful.
So the challenges in air traffic control, as I said before, we work behind the scene. Nobody knows what we do. So even people out there, if you say you are an air traffic controller, they wouldn't mind and they wouldn't even say anything. But then what happens, we have our own challenges. I mean, as a lady, you find like, you know, because you are controlling thousands of lives in an airplane.
That's true.
When the pilots comes in and they hear your voice, some of the pilots, when they hear your voice, you are a lady, they feel like, you know, am I safe in this person's hand, you know? This is what happened. Like, it's the pilots, sometimes they don't feel confident that they're being controlled or the clearance that are being given to them by a lady. Or because now in our situation in Juba here, you find like everyone, these guys, they're hearing guys, these guys' voices every time. And then when you come in, someone will be like, this lady is the one that is giving clearance, or this is what they think. They feel like this is not this clearance that they have been given, they are not safe, and there is everyone flying there. They feel like they are not being guided well, some of them, yes. So that's what happens. But otherwise, from other people out there, nobody knows. And maybe even as I'm talking now, nobody knows what I do, and it's nothing. So
okay, well, that's it for now. And of course, it's 55 minutes past 8 o'clock. My name is Okello the Great. And you have just heard from Sophia Piath Diu and of course from Amel Ajongamaut. All the two female are experts in the aviation. And they are here right in the heart of the country. They are flying big birds. Like they're flying these big birds. And of course, Sophie is that one that you cannot see. Like she's hiding.
Yes,
and she tells you from... She's actually flying with others as well.
Flying on ground, yes. She's flying up and I'm flying on ground.
All right, so that's it. And we'll be taking a break for now. When we come back after this break, trust me, you're going to have your telephone numbers. The telephone numbers are here and you'll be calling us in the studio. Ask the question you have wanted to ask. Do you want your daughter to become a air traffic controller, or do you want your daughter to become a pilot right here in this country? Then you have some of the answers that will be given to you by my abled, experienced, and great guest, female guest, so to speak, right here on the Youth Forum. We're taking a break. When we come back, more will follow. Stay tuned.
Youth Forum.
It is a Youth Forum and still right here on Radio Miraya. My name is Okello the Great. Welcome back in a very special way to those who have been with us. But if you just joined, we are talking about women in aviation. and their contribution to nation building. What do they do within the aviation sector that contribute to the nation building, to our country building? That is the very key question that we were discussing earlier on in the program. But of course, if you just joined, don't mind, don't be really worried, because you never really missed a lot, because the guests in the studio, they are here and they'll be picking some of your questions later on. The questions you will ask, the comment that you'll be given, of course, they'll have reactions toward that. Are you a boy child or a girl child that's passionate, very passionate about being a pilot, or you want to be an air controller right here at the Juba International Airport? Then worry not, because we have got youth, female youth, that in the studio, and we are talking aviation 101. And of course, to introduce to you is Sophia Piatdiu, the female air traffic controller at Juba International Airport. Welcome to the second hour, Sophia.
Thank you.
And we have Amel Ajongamaut. She is the commercial pilot, and she has been flying. You'll be seeing her moving. She's just in that plane. She's in that plane. Any plane that passes through the airspace of this country, she's the one flying it. Welcome back to the second hour, Amel.
Thank you.
All right, and all the listeners across the country, as I promise, and I stick true to my promises, now right now you are going to take your telephone, and please do us justice by dialing the following numbers that I'm going to read out to you, or should I say spell it out. Now, please feel free to call on 0929686297. But if you want to send us an SMS, do it on 0912177141. That is the MTN SMS line. But of course, Zain SMS line, but we have Zain call line. For ladies, it's 0912062950. And for men, you can call on 0912062079. And with me right here, you'll be able to be live. And the guests is in the studio, they'll be able to react to your questions and comment. Please do that as soon as possible. And I will going to also read some of the messages that have been sent to us here on social media, our Facebook page, the comments, and if there are questions, of course, I will do that more equally. But for now, let's get to hear from the first caller of tonight. Hello, Redemira. All right. Sorry for that. Maybe you can call back again on the numbers that I had read earlier on. Hello, Redemira.
Ukelo the Great.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very good. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Galog Makui.
Galog Makui, I assume you're still in Juba.
You're still in Juba?
You're in Juba.
I'm not going anywhere, yeah?
So you have now abandoned Akobo.
I want to go to Juba, to Akobo, when this so-called dollar rate goes down.
Goes down. Yeah. All right, Galog Makwe, let's leave dollar for now in peace. We are talking about the female air aviators that are controlling our international airport. They're here with me. What is your information to them, or what's your question?
Well, I've been following in the beginning of the first hour, and I would like to welcome my boss. I call them boss because they have gone so far. Okay, I welcome them in the studio. And I wish them happy International Women's Day in advance. So when I come to the point,
yes,
I would like to ask two questions.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one goes to Sophia. Someone called Sophia, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So now that you have been working there for a long, what can you... can you be very fortunate enough to...
Galak, your voice is cutting a little bit. Wondering the network is not that good for you.
Okay. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask that if she is interesting enough to encourage all the upcoming people to join, especially ladies to join that or not.
Okay.
The second one goes to Amel. Is that working as a controller?
No, she's a...
Piloting, or is it different?
Okay.
Pilot.
Yeah, two questions. I hope you hear them.
Okay, your question, Galwag, before you leave.
To Amel? Yeah.
Yes, Amel, she's a female pilot. You're asking that piloting and hair controlling is a different thing or the same?
Yes, that's okay. What I was asking.
Okay, okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Galwag Makwe. Appreciate. Hello, Redemira.
Hello.
Hello, Redemira. Good evening.
Yes, call me Dr. Richard. Thank you, Okaya, for receiving my call, and I would like to congratulate the two ladies in the in the studio for the great job they have done. We are really, really very proud of them, Sophia and Alwell. And actually, they have mentioned this, that you need to follow your passion. I myself, they have wanted me to be the pilot way back in 2005. But for the fear of flying, of course, I used. And instead, I went for medicine. But my cousin sister has them to be a pilot too. So I really just want to tell them that let them inspire the young ladies to make sure that they also become like them. At least, if not five, very different. Pilot, so that at least helps them open the map of aviation.
Okay.
To them. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Richard. Well, for some reason, Amel has become Alwell. Mabruk, congratulations. You have a brand new name. But yeah, so does it. Dr. Richard is actually encouraging and asking the entire nation that if the numbers of female pilots would really increase, at least if not 5, 10 would do. And they would raise our maps up. That's a very good one. Let me pick two or three, and then you guys will respond to the questions that were asked earlier on. Hello, Redemira. Sorry for that. Maybe you have to climb a tree. I hear it has rained tonight. Hello, Redemira.
Hello.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, marhaba.
Halen mara munu dar bin wen.
Misa akhira ko tamam.
Misa hanura ko na dar bin wen.
James Mbia ni Madina Town South County.
James Mbia, inshallah kwa hizo ya zol. Ita kwa dhata ya jake.
Ala kwa hizo wa. Ala kwa hizo wa wapali ya Zaman Tawil.
Zaman Tawil ya tolai. Zaman Tawil.
Awala aja tahea vika hile biyubal tiitin, biyubal tiitidio.
Naam.
Kamane nubul maburu kamane le okot vikai. El kaman palet vika tayara. Bukun kwe jiban.
Naam.
Kala yukun bukun minna tawin bukun kamistasher lene si Juni Sudan al bukun palet si tayara.
Inshallah.
Taban ya nigul rabu na iziru umuro. Inshallah yom tano hubu yiji lena tija wawo wawo tija atoin kani shop. Taban na pala dede maje sahil. Taban chokul kulita derbi daya bito bukun gawi. Lekin kanita wasanta khalas bida very easy. Ba kedeho CDL bito anina kaman buogi mo anina ka shabab ka Yunusuban udarin aktar min kida udor shuno ana indi suwal dor bito shuno kaman le taban si yan masalan si yal yan masalan si nas anin kida yan masalan disability yan man si win man indi yan bito man kaman yan dera garage an ikul zero lekin dor bito shuno shan hubogi ma disability taban disability Uman der musada bita garaya, uman ma der musada bita guruz, lekin man derin musada bita garaya au le garaya le yal bito, le yal bita zola disability. Hal shunu, ashan uban beri sada yal disability, ashan bander agara, ashan bukun mahala, bito kaman ze hu, agara kaman ze da. De wahay, nemeretni dori shunu, le banada al sukhar tanin al basuruman fi joza, uman ma wosul fi joza al al garaya bitoman kan biga wasul bi senior 4 bal shoya bi shilubi ne bodi la rajil gabel huma tama garaya bitoho dor bitoho shuno bodi la las abuhat au le banar kaman al bijere fi joza al mubakar
naam aswala jemi shiri shukran alek James Mbia shukran bashkura shiri dahuna alright that is James Mbia calling from Tony and James has He has two questions, and in a very simple Arabic that he was talking, I would be able to translate, is that James Mbia said that, first of all, he's very happy that and is very proud of you, that he really wished that it would not only be two of you, but many of you would come up in this country, and that would really be very great and would push this nation up. Mm-hmm. But he has two questions. Number one is, how can you stand with disabled youth in South Sudan? There are youth who are disabled, but they would want them to maybe want to pursue this kind of a career, but because of their disability, they look at them as people that will not go anywhere regardless. So what? what is the information, or what can you say about that, two of you? And the other one is, what are your messages on forced marriages, girls that are forced to be married when they are still young, while they have not completed, they have not even went to pursue their dream, or they have not reached their dream, but just in the middle, they gave them out by force and it's out of their own will. So there are three questions, because the first question that came from Galwak Makwi, who called earlier on here in Juba, is to Sophia. Can you encourage, can you encourage other people that are also, who also wanted to come to the same profession that we are in as an air controller? So these are three questions, and I think the floor will be for you now. Then we'll go back again to the callers, and as well, I will be reading a lot of questions that I hear, a lot of messages coming in. But then let's tackle that, these three questions. So any of you can begin, really, in no specific order. You're looking at your eyes. Okay, Sophie, you begin with Galwak Makwi, talking of what message of encouragement do you want to give to those who are willing to become hair controller.
Okay, for the ladies out there who want to, or anyone who want to be an air traffic controller, for air traffic control is a bit different from piloting. Piloting, you can do it on your own if you have money. But for air traffic control, it's from the civil aviation. If they need new recruitment, it is a group recruitment. You don't go alone. You go as a group. For the training, there's the government that takes you for the training. And first, before the training, you have the test, the aptitude test that I said before, and from there, you go for the training. So it's not very hard. If there is a recruitment that is upcoming recruitment, it is out there. So I would encourage those ladies out there, if there is any recruitment, even me myself, there are ladies who are there, the recruitment, if the recruitment is out, or if the advert that needs air traffic controllers from the civil aviation is there, then you have to apply for it. Then if you have that passion, you really want it, then there is nothing that can prevent you from getting it, yes.
Okay. And there is a question, Amel, you want to come in on the... do you stand with the disabled youth in South Sudan that are really willing to do this kind of thing? And the second question is, what is your message to the girls that are married off early age before they even go and do what they want to do? That question will also come to Piato later on, but right now, Amel, take it over.
The question on disability. First, what kind of disability are we talking about?
Yeah.
And then second, before we go for the training, you have to go for a medical check, a serious one, like a serious medical check, which you do every year if you're 40 and below. Every 1 year, you go back to the aviation medical examiner. It's not a normal doctor. This is different.
A robot doctor?
No, they're called aviation medical doctors.
Okay.
Yes. So they take you through, they do the test and everything, and then they're the ones to approve if you're medically fit to fly, and then your document goes back to the civil aviation. Yes. So if I'm renewing my license, I have to come with this medical certificate. So there are certain things maybe that you have, and they would write that if you fail, they would write it, failed, is not fit to fly. Yeah. So I think the question of disability, we'd want to know what kind of disability you're talking about. Yes, because there are certain small things that would make you fail this test. Like if there are these people who are short-sighted, they have to wear specs. They tell you, they write there, medically fit, but the limitation is your eyesight.
Eyesight.
Yes. So there are things that can really... take your medical away from you. Yeah.
Okay. And then on the second question of...
Second of marriage. So I've seen about this child marriages. I would say at least we've made a step ahead. It's not like before.
Yeah.
I also, there's this organization I came across. I just saw it on, I came across it on the internet about this ending of child marriages in South Sudan. And when you take this young girl to get married at this age, I feel like you've ended this child's career completely. Mm-hmm. Because the moment they start starting a family at this young age, it's very hard to divert and come to do other things. But I've seen so many of these organizations that partner together to end this, especially in our states. I've seen in Juba, it's not rampant, but then in these other states, you could see like children being given out for marriage. And you find some people, they're doing it for personal gain, you know, because if I give out my child, maybe I'll get this in return. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then, Sophia, what is your, do you have any say on the early marriages or child marriages?
The child marriages are for the parent, at least, you know. Let them leave their children at least to pursue their careers or their dreams. So that, you know, as you say, that if you at young age and you are, if you are destroyed at young age, you know, the thinking capacity and even, you know, thinking of tomorrow become limited, because at that young age, then you go home and you find a lot of hardship, then, you know, and if there's a lot of hardship, then the thinking capacity or the way you think, there is nothing that can get you ahead. But anyway, there are other guys, other girls that have made it, those that have been married at young age, and they still have that passion. Mm. They make it. But then when you are very young, and if you are very young and they have married you off when you are at that young age, the thinking capacity reduce.
That's right.
And for the other question, is the same thing for us. For them, it's 1 year, but for us, it's 2 years. When you are below, when you are below 40 years, then after 40, you do every year medical check. So it's actually it's not everyone that determine it, but it's from the doctor.
Mm.
Like for us, you look out at the window and see what you see. The traffic, you control what you see. Then the other one, which is mentally, you also, for the hearing also, you need to listen out, because there is communication, two-way communication between the pilots and the air traffic controllers. So if you're not listening out clearly, then you're not good to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for now. Let me read some of the SMSs that are coming on our Facebook page. But of course, you have Attack Dude, who said, hope they will give great speeches to their fellow women and the nation at large. It's referring to two of you. And then you have Moses Awar. Moses Awar said, I have great respect for both ladies. I wish them deeply inspiration. And then you have Galvanic Deng Kor, who said, if all women in South Sudan are like this too, the country would have been moved forward. And of course, the messages keep on going, and you have Alfonso Wani. Alfonso Wani said congratulations to both of them. And you have Sam Maket Abram. Sam Maket Abram said that keep the candle burning. Nyalimu, proud of you, Madhya. That is in, I believe, in Dinka language. And then you have Kual Garang Deng said, I won't hesitate to stay tuned. And I think Kual is actually right now tuned to this program. And then you have Andrea Carmelo Ungom, who said, quite amazing to have talented women like them, the like of Amel Ajonga Mawut and her colleague. All women are encouraged to do the best they can. And then you have Monjok, who said, awesome. And then Petro said, all the best. And the messages keeps on going. All right, so it's 31 minutes past 9 o'clock. My name is Okello the Great, and the guest we are having in the studio is Amel Ajonga Mawut and Sophia Piat Diu. The two are from the South Sudan Aviation, and they are doing quite a lot of amazing job right here in this country. Marking the International Women's Day, the two female, it's two youth, young female, actually, are setting the bar in this country, and they are leading by example. So if you're listening to us and you wanted to call in and maybe send in an SMS, or maybe you want to ask a question, it is your time to do now. Hello, Redemra.
Akira the Great.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, Dana Jonathan Morobo.
John min Morobo. Marhab, John. Good evening. Welcome.
I am the question le banadi al tisiyo.
Naam.
Na si banat amin kanaga ra wosul fu dukta kanu wosaf kanu wosul kalat marhal ta sugutiara ubin tisiyo zola algita follow school fees ubin tisiyo na ye ubin sakala gitu besu maharajil bitu. Or was that all day to allow the world to go to the situs? Open the situs as the more away power away.
No,
the Kalam Sunu as a Kitimanat Dam is the Ganama Baro, the Kalam Sunu.
Okay, they are all the time. Tamam.
I remember the name. As a when the Subutiara, then I'll find one get a young view. Oh, Fayamada command get up to get a Barkazan. Yara can just I in time in Fugu, Levantina in time in Fugu.
Okay, tamam. Shukran, John. Well, John actually said that there are two questions. One is, what is your take on students when they are when they learn to become what they are, whether a teacher or a pilot or a air traffic controller? Once that is done and they're in the field, they forget about their teachers who taught them to become who they are. So what is your message on that line? Number two is that for you guys who are flying plane, and this goes to Amel, is that if you know that you're going to an area where the land, or maybe the airport is not that good, some of the pilot would just land in the bush. Like, what makes you miss the runway and you go out? Do you think it's really necessary? Because it's human life that is in there. So that's what he's asking. That's John from Morobo. Thank you, John, for that question. Let me pick some more some more calls. Hello, Redemra.
Hello, Mira.
Good evening, Miss Alker.
My name is Stephen John Malakal.
It's Stephen John with Malakal. Marhab, Stephen.
Hello,
John Duffy, hi.
I'm collaborating with you a lot. You tell us you get so we'll never get a lot of sharp for the alum. No, I'm not going to get a lot of the market.
John Malesh and Faker Shabaka Bitak Mahways, we Malitak Fogo, so take it at the E for the date.
And I got to see Malaga.
Malesh, aye, Malesh, network best Yamahways. I'm Shigam. All right, it's unfortunately Stephen is calling from Malakal, and somehow the network is really not that good. We do apologize for that, Stephen, but please try to call back again so that we're able to. No, because your question is very important to our guests in the studio. Hello, Redemra.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm very fine. Try to reduce your radio because we can hear the echo sound from this side.
Yeah, I'm already switched off.
You want to hear your voice and your voice on the side, eh? You want to be a VIP?
No, please.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Okay, they are David Woman Madina Toy.
David Min Madina Toy. Marhab, David.
Shukran Alek. Asma.
Naam.
Kere fiaja kire ya, ana hindi kwa menle vana data ba chenu. Si zaman kana mashena fitrini, anina kanta ati, yada ze, uman masha de, uman ebes yao etnin, yada blaginas kan jeremen training. Wana karaj maman, asa shahada batama uman koto jua, nasa rija kukuruju. So, yeah, I'm coming with the Gulam, as you know. Kedoman continue my shovel, the Anna Mokta, that was in Sudan. You soup to Ara.
Thank you.
Dewai. Never then, Kede Kanuman Jamena, Kedoman Maja Ajira.
Kedumurabe?
kere uman ma shir raje la shir bi kara ra saman uman ma yam jetar fi 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 training de uman ma re jatan fi 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 tiara
malu
wala ja ana der uman a shir uman bi shir banad a shir amen wala ya de kul a shir de file o de kun kati fi nade
fi junub sudan
ya fi junub sudan ya de
shukran 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 shadid. All right, that's David Mintonj. I think we give you guys the space to respond. Of course, we didn't hear much from Stephen from Alakal because of the network issue. But of course, John from Morobo, I remember I highlighted these questions earlier on, talking about becoming a student and later on you forget your teacher. And then the pilots that who comes and find the runway is not really favorable and they would decide to land on the trees. Or is it landing... Or is it just going down in the bush? Pretty much that goes to Amel, perhaps. But I think you guys have answered other questions. So you respond to those two, and then I will read some of the SMSs that I hear on my screen.
Okay, about the runway, you'd find maybe you've planned for the flight and you're expecting to see a runway. You know, most of our airstrips are not that good.
Mm.
So whatever we have is what we're going to use. So sometimes I've planned for this flight and I'm going to a certain airstrip and maybe I'm thinking the shortest runway I'd have is maybe 400 meters and maybe I get 350 or even less than that.
Mm.
So whatever I have is what I have to use, you know? So that for now we can't control it. Yeah, I think that's what I would say.
Okay.
And then should I answer?
Yeah.
The one for teachers or?
Yes, maybe both of you. Sophia will as well have a say on that as well. But you go ahead, Amel.
For teachers, okay, that is true. Many people forget the foundation where it all started. These are the same people that instill knowledge in us. And then once we feel like we've achieved whatever we wanted, that is the end of it. They all look at the achievement, but they don't look at the person behind it, you know? Myself, I've never forgotten my teachers.
Okay.
Some we interact once in a while. And once in a while, it's good to say thank you, you know, because they instill this knowledge in us. And then also, you know, you can never do it by yourself. Yeah.
That's right. Sophia?
Yes.
We are still in the talk show, so... Yes, so on the question of the teachers, that once you learn, then you forget your teacher.
I believe one thing that takes us ahead is gratefulness and, yeah... Even if you know out there that you have achieved all the, it's good once in a while to, even if you don't give anything to the teacher, at least you maintain that relationship and say thank you. Thank you is a very great thing, better than anything in this world. To be grateful, you always have more blessings on the line. So it's always good to say thank you, and it's always good to be grateful. And to the teachers out there, we are always grateful, even if they don't show it. I believe everyone is grateful. Those that have achieved, they're always. I believe, even if they don't say it, but it's good to tell somebody that thank you. Yeah.
All right, and let me read SMSs. There are really quite a good number of them, but I will be picking, just junking in between. One is coming from Angelina Adele from Rumbek. And Angelina said, good evening to you, my lovely, beautiful sisters in the studio. Big up to you, my girls. Happy International Women's Day in advance next tomorrow. Continue with that spirit. May God bless you all.
Thank you.
My question is, what advice do you give to young girls who are loitering, moving around anyhow, even though their families or parents try to what level of support, and they don't understand it, that parent should stand up for them? So it's what advice, right? It's what advice from Angelina Dell. Thank you, Angelina Dell, for that message. And then another one is saying, thank both the female, the air control, and the pilot. That is really a very good job. Allow women to do their job. If that is done, then we'll not be having any problem. So thank you for making us proud. All right. That one is coming from Chine Yaleu. Okay. And reading on, moving on, this is from Joseph Gatquoth from Bentiu. That is a good topic. My brother Peter Okello, I do appreciate you and all my sisters, of course, Amel and Sophia. Thank you for that talent. God bless you, my sisters. I appreciate you all for what you're doing. All right. Moving on, you have David. Okay, it's saying, good evening, Okello the Great, and the guests in the studio. What I know is that most people fear being pilot is because they think that one may simply lose their life in a aircraft accident. What advice would you give such people, especially ladies who think that this is a dangerous job? It's Francis from Francis John from WOW. You heard his question, Amel. And, of course, let me just read one last, and then I give you the chance, because there's really, really very many. Call me Samuel Dengmajok from Northern Barkazali State. I really appreciate the two guests in the studio. My question would go to Amel. What will you tell the students who might have those dreams and probably they could not manage to pursue them due to economic crisis in South Sudan? All right, we give you the floor.
First of all, let me pick from Adele. Adele, thank you. And to ladies, it is always two-way traffic, and it's always good to win the trust of our parents. I said before, if you are given an opportunity, use it in the right way, because our parents actually always need the best for us. And if the best has been given to you, it's always also to work hard on that best that have been given to you. So for the ladies out there, if you are given that opportunity, use it correctly to pursue your careers, your dreams, and you will go very far, because our parents have blessings. They actually know why they say don't do this and don't do that. Yes. So win their trust and you will go far.
All right, Amel?
On the same? Or on the same question?
There have been varieties of questions. You can pick from any.
Okay, about aviation being expensive. First of all, let me just talk about the flying bit of it.
Okay.
The flying bit of it is financial draining. Like, it's crazy. And it's not easy to find people that give out scholarships, because they know the weight of it, because it's very expensive, especially having to go through all the three phases. It's draining. But then there's a program, I think South Sudan has those programs where they take people out for training. So they should try and also always be to date with what is going on. They are able to get an opportunity, because I don't think you'd get somebody who'd be able to sponsor you through it, because it's very expensive. But then if they keep, like Sophia got the advert and then she applied, that is the same way. Maybe the other person can be lucky also to get a spot also. So they should just try and be checking, like what always Sophia did.
Out.
Always
okay.
Look out, yeah. At least you're able to, you can get an opportunity also to pursue the career.
One person is saying here, yeah, that one thing that I like most is that the air traffic controller and the pilots, they're just good, they're doing their better job. But the worst thing that I don't like is that when you marry them, you not have time. They'll all be either on the plane or controlling their hair in the airport. All right. That's There's one funny comment coming in here from one of the gentlemen sending in the messages. And of course, it's 46 minutes right here, and we are talking aviation, women in aviation, and their contribution to nation building. Let's come into your respective contribution in nation building. Do you feel whatever you're doing somehow is contributing to the building of this country? Sophia, and then Amel comes in.
Yes, even sitting now here is a nation building. Yeah, the ladies that are listening out there, I believe I'm building the nation just by sacrificing myself at this time of the night to be in the studio. I believe that is a contribution. And I believe also for some ladies out there that look unto me as their role model, this is, I'm contributing to the nation building. And also I believe, like, if I take maybe other, you know, go ahead with education, yes, others will believe that if I can do it, then what about them? So if I'm an air traffic controller, then what about them? They can do it also. So I believe I am contributing to the nation building of this country.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Amel?
Okay. Mine will be a bit different from Sophia, because there's a lot of gender equality happening in the world, and we don't get these spaces, you know, in all aspects, you know, in leadership, in everything, we don't get spaces. So people have this notion that women are home builders, they stay at home, bring the family together, and all these things. That is what they say is our job. But in real sense, yeah, it's true. Many women put families together, bring families together.
Okay.
But if we're given more spaces, we are able to really contribute to nation building. If we're given more spaces to leadership, normally most countries you see that women are given 30%, the men are given 70%. Why not 50-50? Yeah. You know? So this way we are able to contribute more to the society. Not only in leadership, but in other aspects. Even in offices, when they're employing people, you'd find they want 20 men and 2 women. Why not 10-10? You know?
Right.
Yeah, so I feel like if they create more spaces for us, we are able to give results.
Yeah. Able to deliver.
Yes.
All right.
Deliver, thank you.
Great. So right now we are winding up. It's actually 49 minutes past 9 o'clock, and before we knew it, we'll be out of here. And given that we are in the month of Women's Month, and before we leave this studio, we want to give you a chance, maybe just a few seconds or so, to be able to tell any message, special message, with these regards that you want to portray or you want to give outside there before you leave the studio. If you have that chance and you have something to say, Sophia, what would that be as your last message?
To all my ladies out there, just believe in yourself, because you can do it. There is nothing that is hard in this world, and that has been instilled by my mom, Yar Makoy. She has always told us the value of resilience and determination. So if you are determined, there is nothing that can defeat you. So always be confident and know that you will get it. Thank you.
Wow, that's really very powerful, Grinch. And Amel?
For me, I would say, for women and anyone out there, yeah, you should always believe in yourself. And if you set your mind to do something, you can always achieve it. And we're looking forward to days where we'll wake up and this is a better place for us as women. And, you know, in time, we're going to do great things.
Yes.
Thank
She's
you.
Also, we are also a Loretta product. So in time to come, women will do great things.
Yeah.
That is a word from Mary Watt, the founder of the fundraiser of Loretta Schools in the World. So we always believe that in time to come, women will do great things.
Women will definitely do great things. And it's neat, women will do great thing in South Sudan. That is the parting shot coming from the ladies. And you've heard from Sophia Piat-Diu. Thank you so much for being with us. And Amel Ajongamawut, thank you too for being with the Youth Forum tonight. I am really very grateful in the Youth Forum. It's really indebted to have you all right here on the Youth Forum. And already, Miraya, to be specific. And to all the listeners across the country, thank you so much. I can't really afford to say thank you because it's just a less word. But please, keep it ready, Miraya. Keep it Youth Forum together. We shall bring a change. To all the youth across the country, please be safe, be a youthful youth, and don't be a useless youth. Because with that, you'll do nothing. Be strong, be great, work hard, you're able to live. It's from me to you. I'm Okello the Great. Have yourself a very lovely night.